The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We're live at Flowery Branch, as we do exclusively right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the only station bringing you the latest on the Falcons each and every week. We'll get a chance to talk to Coach Raheem Morse, also our player guest today, Justin Simmons, and we're excited to talk to him as he knows a little bit about that Broncos organization, and he's been really good for us so far, man, and excited to talk with him about where this thing is going. That is all on the way. We've got a lot to get to. We'll talk to Rusty Manziel. Nobody covers college football like Rusty. Of course, he's on with the Steakhouse. And we will dive in, Mike, to what the committee said last night. And I think Georgia fans right now on edge. A lot of Georgia fans are on the edge of their seat.
Yeah, I mean, we always knew it was going to be a difficult schedule. That schedule is a beast. But how much is that schedule going to mean when it comes time to put Georgia up against other schools in similar situations, or maybe a school with one loss with a lesser schedule? But, you know, I always say chill because it generally seems to work itself out. Remember, we used to freak out trying to get down to four.
Yeah.
You got a lot more wiggle room, but it's tough when your team has two losses.
No doubt. And the big deal last night was basically Georgia's 12, but because Boise is also 12, they would be the G5, which is the last team in. Basically, you get the Power Fours, they get an automatic bid. So if the playoffs started today, Georgia would be outside. They'd be 13, Boise would be 12. And that's what people were like, I don't understand. They're both ranked 12. That is why. So we'll dive in with Rusty, man. Listen, you can't worry about all that if you're Kirby Smart, and I don't think he is one bit knowing what Kirby is right. About. You got to be worried about Saturday. You've got to be focused on Saturday against Tennessee. Handle your business, and everything, as Mike said, will fall into place. All this freaking out and the committee screwing us, right. Relax.
Beat Tennessee, and Ian Maleva looks like he's going to play. Everyone's kind of curious, was he 100%? Is he 80%?
Well, then that report came out yesterday where they're not sure, and I'm like, are they playing games? Because Heupel came out, I think it was Monday, and was like, he's fine. You know, he's going to be back. So my guess is, Mike, you got to prepare like this kid's going to be out there.
I can't imagine him not going.
Too big of a game.
We've seen a bunch of guys. Penn State's quarterback was able to go in that Ohio State game. We've seen it go down. Yeah, man, it's going to be interesting. Chris and I were talking at the end of the show yesterday, and I was saying, you know, Miami, I mean, SMU could be the ACC champion this year.
It's
crazy. Their first freaking year.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of a sad, nothing against SMU, but it's kind of a sad state of affairs for the rest of the ACC.
No doubt. It just tells you, too, what we've talked about the parity. This is why when we say that school can't beat that school. Who in the hell thought the SMU Mustangs would come into the ACC and potentially win it? We were talking Clemson, Miami, Florida State before the season with all the hype surrounding them. I mean, hell, even North Carolina and Mack Brown. Nobody would have said SMU.
Yeah, now, speaking of people that got a right to be upset, they're not even in the playoffs right now in the college football playoff ranking. They come in 14th with two top 25 victories, by the way, against Louisville and Pitt, for what it's worth. But we'll carve it up a little bit later and chop it up with Russ.
All right, as we wait on Coach, and by the way, they're practicing, they're on the field. As soon as they come off the field, we'll grab Coach. It could be 5 minutes.
Right.
Could be 10, but he will join us here in the next 15 to 20, so stay tuned for that. And also, Justin Simmons, literally right after Coach, will step in and join us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, real quick, and we're going to dive into this later as well, guys. The Hawks last night had a monumental win against the Boston Celtics. This is 2 years in a row now. They did this last year without Trey on the floor. DeJounte was on the floor. DJ, not only DeJounte, but should I say DeAndre Hunter was on the floor. He had a big three. But they came back from 30 down last year. And people don't remember because, again, the season was so, you know, Mike, dysfunctional from the standpoint. It didn't turn out the way we wanted it. All the injuries. But that was the signature win last year.
Right.
And you start this season and you go on the road. Mike and I were saying this when I left the studio last night. He asked me, he said, what are the Hawks, what's the number? And I said, oh, it's like 15 and a half. You know, everybody thinks the Celtics are just going to blow doors. Hell, Tatum and Brown might be sitting in the fourth quarter.
Right.
What a win for the Hawks.
And, again, everybody contributed, even Keaton Wallace.
Who?
Now, granted, he was struggling from three, but you had Keaton Wallace from the Skyhawks, who you just covered up there in Beantown. Not a great night shooting for Reese Hoshea. Matter of fact, collectively, they shot 31.3 from the three-point range. We thought that, you know, Boston was going to bombs away. The crazy thing last night, if you didn't see the game, was how Jaylen Brown was missing his free throws and then bombs a three-point shot.
Yeah.
So there was a crazy sequence. And then Chris and I know you and I were texting back and forth last night because you were doing TV for
FanDuel.
FanDuel. I was going to say Bally's now. FanDuel. Is what the hell was that inbounds foul? We didn't have a replay, so I had no idea what that was.
I don't know. And listen, Trey Young tweeted out, the refs are always trying. He insinuated,
right.
Look, you're trying to take this game. I thought it was a weak call. I thought it was a weak sauce call. There was no explanation.
Hey, Snyder didn't even get – Snyder's literally sitting there going, what the hell just happened?
They were asking him after the game. He said, you guys go ask. You'll probably get it faster than I will. I don't know. I feel like the league owes us an apology with that call. If you missed it at the end of the game, there's about 4 seconds left. There's an inbound play. We have the ball. All we need to do is inbound it. They're going to foul. We go to the line. The game's going to be over. There is a turnover. Basically, they say the ball was tipped out or kicked out or whatever the hell had happened. And it was a controversy because at first it was like, okay, what happened? And then it was Boston's ball, and now they have a chance to win the game.
And from the angle, you as a TV viewer had no idea what just happened. And then, by the way, at least Joe Mazzulla, still is Joe Mazzulla, he had nothing developed for that final shot. It was pretty awful how that thing went down. So the Hawks are able to get the win as a 16-point underdog. And, oh, by the way, this is the NBA's in-season tournament.
Which helps.
That's why the court looks funky. So, hey, man, maybe we'll get to go to Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you win your group, all right? It's groupings. And we're in the C group, basically. But we've got the Cavs in our group. We'll see them coming up. But this was a big win. And here's the other thing. Got to say it. We all owe Dyson Daniels an apology. He can play. He has been absolutely incredible on the defensive end. And here's the other thing. He's way better than DeJounte Murray on the defensive
big
end.
Big time.
This is not even close.
I mean, I don't know how much you guys watched the Paris Olympics when it came to the basketball, but he was like one of the best players on Australia, arguably the best, most consistent. And then, you know, you think of him as just a pure defender. He's got a good three-point shot when he gets on a roll. By the way, he's going to join us tomorrow, Chris. Dyson Daniels, our first chance to talk to the, I guess, how about this, because he's leading the league in steals. I got a nickname. Don't steal it. The Plunder from Down Under.
I like it.
I'm going to get that shirt going.
I like it.
All these ideas. One day I'm going to make money off this T-shirt. I've made money off T-shirts since Tallahassee. But anyway, yeah, the Plunder from Down Under will join us, who's been a steal machine for the Hawks.
Man, and last night he gave you 28. You needed his points. So he can score, which is something I doubted. But the defense is off the charts. Guys, best defensive player in the league. Just man up, straight up. He gave Tatum issues. He shut down Brunson. He's legit. We'll talk more about the Hawks, but we are awaiting Coach Raheem Morris. We're going to take a quick break and come back here at Flowery Branch and find out what Coach is thinking, not only about what happened with New Orleans, but also as we turn the page and talk about Denver. Coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Coach Raheem Morris. All right. Tough one last week. We gotta turn the page, but I know a lot of Falcon fans know and want to know what I'm about to ask you, and that is, are you concerned about young Wei Koo?
I feel like I've answered this about 3 million times, but not at all. You know, it's like it's. I said it right after the game, but you know, Steph Curry has off nights, and you know, Klay Thompson have off nights, and they keep shooting. You know, I watched Steph shoot an air ball last night in his game, and actually hit the game winner when it counted. And like that's how I feel about Koo. Like Koo's one of those guys going to shoot, and he's a shooter, and he's been shooting for us for a long time, and he's got way too much money in my emotional bank account.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For me to get down on them for one game, and that's just the truth of the matter.
I know that everybody goes through it. Justin Tucker with the Ravens, you're not going to comment on another team's player, but we can just say that he's one of the best in the business. He's having an off year by his standards. So guys, go through it. Matt Bryant went through a patch back in the day with us. But I mean, how do you help?
Matt Bryant.
Right.
The only reason Matt Bryant ended up being Atlanta Falcons because he had one small day like that in Tampa.
Right.
He left us in Tampa, and I came down here to join him down here to watch the second part of his career just be outstanding, as good as almost the first part of his career. So it's like, that's why you can't have the overreactions when days like that happen for skill set people, pitchers, kickers, shooters.
Right.
Those are different deals. And like those are things that they work through for the most part. And I told the media today, man, I said, we're going to ride Young Waiku till the wheels fall off.
Okay.
And that's our guy.
It's just because it's such a psychological thing, and nobody does it, so nobody can really kind of handicap it. What do you and Marquise do to help him out?
Nothing.
Okay.
stay out of his way. Marquise knows a lot more, obviously, about the technical aspect than I do. But the whole deal is with Young Waiku just getting back to his rhythm, his routine, his rhythm, and what he has to do. Getting back to hitting it is like a golf swing. I can't do that either, and neither can most of us, right? But it's like going out there, going out to getting repetitive work and being able to get that stuff back in line and go lock in and really just wait for your next opportunity to go kick it so you can make it, so you can stop all the noise.
Coach Raheem Morris with us guys here on Dukes and Bell. Coach, we run 481 yards. We outgained them, I'm talking about the Saints, 468 to 365. You look at some of these numbers and you go, we really dominated the game, but we didn't win the game. What is your message there when you look at this kind of stuff? And I know for you, stats are for nerds, but at the end of the day.
Not nerds.
Oh, okay.
Losers.
Losers. thank you. But you look at these numbers and you go, we actually dominated the game. Well, how do you look at that?
That's the definition of what I mean by stats are for losers, right? Mm. Those things don't matter. It's all about winning the football game. And we went and played a football game where we did enough to win on offense. We did enough to win on defense. We didn't do enough to win on special teams when it comes to the kicking phase. And you can't just come out and say that's the case, that's why you lost. No, you go find ways to do more on defense, to not give up the long touchdown passes, to not give up the two explosives. You go find ways on offense where you don't fall short in the red zone and have to kick field goals and potentially get them blocked or whatever the case may be. You find ways to win the football game no matter what. I don't care anything about stats. I know we all fall in love with this as part of our generation. It's part of what we've become. I know it's made us a bunch of money when it comes to
the metrics.
You know,
yeah.
All the metrics and all those things. They're fun. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to actually winning football games and team and how you go play games, they're for losers, man. And like, we got to find a way to win that football game.
I want to follow up on the explosive plays. We've done a great job of not giving them up. Coach, was that blown coverages? What happened on those two particular plays?
It was not a blown coverage. It was a great execution by New Orleans on the quick snap on third down, and I believe six or seven on a medium, and got guys lined up quick, got us in position, got them out of position to man coverage, scored a touchdown. And then the other one was just a man-to-man loss. You know, man-to-man loss on the sideline.
Did the pre-snap motion do anything on that one?
My man, no, that was less pre-snap motion. That was just a man-to-man loss. It was a really good catch, you know, by Van Des Kelly. No one took any away from his game, but, you know, those two big plays were different in the game. No different in the kicks, right? Those two big plays or the kicks, whatever the case may be, or, you know, not getting the opportunities in the red zone that we could have made instead of getting the penalties and scoring touchdowns. You know, it's just so many things in the game that come up that you got to harp on and be ready to go out there and finish off those opportunities. And that's where the stats get confusing.
It's Raheem Morris with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios, live here at Falcons, our weekly visit. Yeah, it's just frustrating because it seemed like the offense, you know, they struggled a little bit, and they really got things going. The throw to Pitts, that Bijan run's one of the best Falcon runs I've ever seen, where he looks, loses his balance and he runs awesome. Away from the defense. So it just seems like things were flowing, and then was it missed penalties and just lack of execution, you think, at the end of the day that hurt us?
No, you know, actually in the red zone a couple of times, it feels like forever ago, but at the couple of times it feels like we jumped off sides one time and overcame that penalty, and then we got down there again and we got another penalty. We missed an opportunity on a route distribution deal in the red zone, so we ended up settling for the field goal attempt. A couple of times, things of that nature happened. Like, they just sputtered out in the red zone. That hadn't happened in the last couple of weeks. We're not accustomed to that. But I think we were 1-for-3 in the red zone. And when we get down there, we have been scoring, and we've been able to run it in, right. You know, pretty consistently. Even the touchdown that we did get in the run, it was came on the 4th-and-1, which was three plays of lack of execution before we got in there and got to have a moment. But, you know, those are the things where we got to be better. Those are the things we got to be to close out teams. And that's why I expect our guys to stand up and go win. Like, yeah, if I had a 5th down on that 3rd-and-1, I was going for it.
Yeah. right.
You know, it didn't matter. It was just, right. it was just that's a mentality play. Like you go score, and yes, we're going to call the same play. You know,
right? We're running the same thing. Let's just execute it, Coach. We're at a point in the season. You could say this about a lot of teams: inconsistent, right? Mm. Win a few, lose a few. You could say that's the NFL. How do you feel about our team right now? When you look at how consistent we can be at moments, and then lapses like last week where we can be inconsistent, and how do you try to fix those things? Because that's what you're trying to get to as we head towards the end of the season and certainly towards the playoffs.
You just don't feel like it's a lapse when you lose a one possession game. I think that's the National Football League. You know, you would say a lapse was our Seattle game where it got out of whack and we couldn't get back in the groove. This game was a start slow, definitely picked it up a lot faster than we thought. We matched the energy, we got the urgency back in, we made it a game. We hit the big-time play to Mooney, hit two big-time plays to Mooney, getting the one. The defense picked it up, got a bunch of three and outs in the second half. We uncharacteristically, I'll mess this word up, uncharacteristically messed up, you know, three field goal opportunities.
Right.
And that just doesn't happen. And when that happens, those things come back to bite you and it hurts you.
Right.
So, like, I wouldn't say it was that exactly. I wouldn't put my finger there. It is just about finding ways to win those games, particularly on the road, in division, with a chance to close out a team that just gave us a bunch of opportunities, and we didn't capitalize.
It was just strange things all game as Raheem Morris is with us, like when Bijan got his legs tangled with McGarry, and I think that was a Cam Jordan sack on that one.
It was two of those.
Yeah, and it's just because we talk about the great job they've done protecting Kirk, but all of a sudden that happened.
You know, we got three sacks on the day, and two of them we tripped our own guys. and you know, I feel for those moments because obviously those are small little detail technique errors, too wide, too short, too whatever, releasing through the wrong gap, whatever the case may be, clipping up an elbow. And those things happen within a game of footwork, but I don't know if you guys remember me saying the good, the bad, the ugly.
Right, yep.
Well, when you run into a player and give up a sack, that's ugly.
Yeah.
When you trip a guy, that's ugly. You know, when you uncharacteristically do some things like that, those are the things. When you get it blocked,
yeah,
that's ugly. You know, a lot's got to go wrong to get it blocked, as you know, with the operation and what happens in the field goal. So, like, if you eliminate those three big, ugly plays, man, you're talking about a whole different deal.
Coach is brought to you by the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center here on Dukes and Bell. You came in, we were talking and joking around about therapy because this is what it is for us each and every week as we talk to fans and kind of go through the process of, you know, our feelings, being in our feels, Coach.
It's a tough loss. It's a tough loss for you, I have to tell you.
No doubt. But with that said, the good news is we get to flip the script and move on, and that is going to be Sunday against the Broncos. So first thing is health. How are we looking? What's the deal for our health?
I don't know who's healthy right now at this time of the year, but it is what it is, right? We got guys out there that's going out there playing, you know, somewhat not at the top strength that we talk about, which we know, like guys like Troy and things of that nature. And we go through these weeks and we figure out as we go through it how good we're going to be. And then I can't wait to get to tomorrow's practice to get it physical and let these guys put the pads on and be able to go do some things, then run around a little bit on Friday. And you feel better by Saturday, get out there and you play the game and let's go, right? But here's a big time one for us before our bye. To go back and really rest, recover, and get some people back and do some different things and find ways to get even more healthy for the stretch run, man. But the most important thing is getting this one.
Right.
That's the most important thing.
Road game at altitude, if that means anything, but the pass rush. And Bo Nix, man, that dude moves around. I mean, he's still learning on the job. So, the obvious thing is to try to throw some things at him that he hasn't seen. But what do you see on tape from him? Because he looks like he's getting
That's clearly the thing that jumps off tape to you. You know, his ability to scramble and run the football. Like, I always knew he could move around the pocket and do different things, but him running away from people this year has been really impressive. And, like, he's done a nice job of that. You know, Sean does a great job of getting his quarterbacks easy completions, and he's giving them reads that he can absolutely handle. And when it's not there, when it breaks down, he's been able to run away from a lot of good defenses. So we got to go out there and contain this guy and keep him in the pocket. And you got to tackle him when we have opportunities. He's got some big-time runs. I don't know if – what is he, second in the league in rushing from quarterback standpoint?
Yeah, I think you're right. As far as that number's not surprising. I'm more surprised about just how well composed he's been, you know, considering being a rookie. Rod, you've been in the league a long time.
I'm less surprised by the composure because I got a chance to meet him through the draft process.
Oh, really? What did you think?
I thought he was a very composed kid, a guy that can handle it, a guy that can go out and play almost immediately, you know, and if you had to figure some things out, obviously it would go to some learning curve, which he is going through, and I'm sure he's having a ball doing it.
Yeah, that's interesting. You've been in the league a long time. Going to Denver, you were with the Rams, you guys played out there a lot. Like, is it a big deal? Is it different than other places around the league because of the things we talk about, or not really?
You know, it hits everybody differently. And then obviously – from a coach's standpoint, you always talk about your guys with the sickle cell trait. That affects you in altitude. People that have altitude poisoning. You know, obviously we got medications you can take beforehand when you get there, things of that nature. And we'll take all the necessary steps to be prepared for that. You know, just not being used to that stuff. But for the most part, since I've been there, I haven't run into the problem. You know, I just happen to know Ryan Clark very well.
Right.
And know about the situation that happened with him.
Sure,
so
sure.
You're always going to pay more attention to that detail. We went out there with Tevin Coleman, who also had sickle cell. And right. We're able to pick, and he had his best game ever in Denver, if you remember.
That's right, he did.
And it's just like one of those things where as long as you are aware of it and can pay attention and know what's going on, and fortunately we learned the lesson from Mr. Clark that, you know, we know how to take care of it.
Right. Their pass rush is pretty stout. I mean, the offensive line, so expect the guys to come in, use Bijan, Pitts at times. Everyone's going to have to chip in, literally to chip, to get these guys off of Kirk.
You know, that's kind of been a plan throughout the whole year. And like we talked about Bijan's ability to pass pro a bunch on this show and in press conferences and everything else, and it's really impressive. Probably the most underrated thing that he does, you know, believe it or not. But really confident in our O-line. This D-line absolutely has pass rushes across the board. It can get after the quarterback, and we got a big challenge ahead of us, and I look forward to our guys standing up and making and being ready to deal.
Coach Ra, before we let you go, what do you think, or what you already know, but your message, you know, when you lose one like that, right, you got to scratch it from the surface. You got to let it go. But what's your message heading into this week? Because you just talked about the bye, and I agree with you. That's a big deal to head into the bye with a dub.
You know, it's not just the bye, but it's getting the dub is the biggest deal, right? Because why is this the most important game? Because it's the next game, right? That's the mentality. And the whole deal about the last game of scrubbing it is just like you can't let one team beat you twice, right? You got to come out that thing and ready to go. You got to be ready to all guns firing and all cylinders up. Everybody's ready out. And that's where we're at. And like, process, you got to trust it. The preparation that we're going through, go get this win, and then we'll be able to enjoy next week. I'll get a chance to talk to you. Great.
Yeah, let's do it. Coach Ra, appreciate you, man. Thank you for stopping by. I was going to ask you, and we'll get into this, but I'm curious to know. Mike and I are talking about trends around the league and like what may surprise you. We'll ask you when we come back next time we get a chance to talk to you, because we're seeing things around the league. We know it's a copycat league. But
give
like,
me an example, man.
For example, like you're seeing things with tight ends, all right, with the usage of tight ends and how much that's – like evolved over the years. And you know, probably when you got into this, tight ends were mostly blocking guys. Now you see just difference makers, right, across the league. And it's just, I'm curious to know what you think when you watch stuff, you talk to other coaches, and like the trends that you're seeing around the league and how that sets the league in one way or the other.
It's funny, you said it right at the back, though. It's copycat league, right?
Yep.
We've seen the success between Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, and people copycatted that. They were running a bunch of 12. Then then you see all the success with the tight ends, and then we had a National Tight End Day. You got Travis Kelce. You got all these kind of guys
that
make these plays.
Yeah.
And now tight ends are all over the place making a bunch of big plays. They're number one receivers. They're part of the We Are People Too club, right? And and at some point, it's going to be a fullback league. Who knows?
I'm going to wait on that. Thanks,
Ron. Very nice, Coach Rod. Get him up there in a mile high, man.
Appreciate you stopping by. Justin Simmons is going to stop by. We're going to talk to the safety here coming up.
Coach, reference Bo Nix. It's Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Hurts, Kyler Murray, and then Bo Nix as far as he's top five in rushing.
That's pretty good.
Now, granted, Lamar is far and away, and Jaden's down his heels, but he does have the third most rushing touchdowns. It is Jalen Hurts, and then it's Josh Allen, Justin Fields, and then you get to our man Bo Nix. He's got four rushing touchdowns.
He's elusive, but he was, right? He's always kind of been that.
He's the biggest surprise. He was we were so probably, I don't know, Auburn bias from his time in Auburn, but he's looking good, man.
Well, he went to Oregon and really played well.
Different dude out there.
Yeah, he really was. All right, we're coming back. We're talking about the Broncos. Justin Simmons, our safety, is going to join us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. And our next guest, man, I got to tell you, social media played a role in this momentum of getting this guy to the Falcons, because it was one of those things in the offseason where we were like, you know what, man, we should go get Justin Simmons. And all of a sudden, Falcon fans were like, yeah, we should go get Justin Simmons. And then Justin joins us right now here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And then, Justin, I'm getting messages and notes like, yo, Justin Simmons just followed Grady and a bunch of other Falcons. And we started to, like, perceive, hey, this might happen. We're glad you're here. You're having a great season. But it's just funny to me, man, because Falcon fans wanted you bad. And when you signed, we were like, oh. So tell us about how you're doing, man, and where you're at now that that whole process has played out. We're, you know, 8-9 games into the season. Mm-hmm. Where are you at right now?
Yeah, I'm still growing. I think as the years have gone on, man, I've learned something new at each level from someone different, coach, player. And I would say, like, you know, the biggest challenge of going from my first time going from one team to another, now being in Atlanta, you know, it's just a whole bunch of new. And then obviously, like, not being here for camp, going into the season, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces that you have to be on top of consistently throughout the year. Whereas, you know, because you lose that time at OTAs, training camp, all those things. And so my biggest, you know, hat tip to Justin Hood, Jerry Gray, you know, Jimmy Lake, Coach Raw, you know, Jesse, AJ, all the guys on defense, man, because it's been week in and week out, you know, constant communication. And, you know, we've had our moments, both positive and negative, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, but we're trending in the right direction. And, you know, November, December is a big time playoff team ball. So, you know, this is where it's all going to count, you know, down the stretch here.
Arguably, we've got the best safety combination in the NFL. Talk about playing with Jesse and playing for Coach Rock, because it's usually the energy is infectious when you come into this environment.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. You know, I'll never forget, man, I'm getting ready to come down here and have the dinner meeting with Coach Raw, Terry, and all the guys.
The
famous dinner that everyone talks about. And, you know, I'm hitting a few players up that have played with Raw just over the years, right? Like, you know, Aqib Talib had him in Tampa, you know, John Johnson, fellow BC alum with me, had him when he was in LA. Obviously, like, Coach E was a Jero Evero was my DC in Denver for a year, and he was under Raw when they won the Super Bowl in LA. So just, like, you know, like, asking everyone, has nothing but great things to say about him. Energy's infectious. It's just a guy you want to play for. And I mean, all that's lived up, you know, to the hype, and you just want to play your best ball for him. And for the guys around you. And yeah, man, being paired with Jesse, you know, I say all the time, like, I think around the league there that you like, and at each position, there's guys that, like, you admire for the way that they do things. Right. And so for me, being in Denver, and Jesse when he was in Cincy, and even last year having the All-Pro Bowl nod here, I've always loved his game outside looking in. And now being in the room with him and seeing how he processes, how he handles himself, how he leads, it's skyrocketed for me. And so it's a true blessing, man, to be in that room with him, AJ, you know, all the guys, and being able to compete with them.
You also had, you know, former teammate here in Chris Lindstrom.
That's right.
That you could call upon. What did he tell you about the vibe and what was going on here? Because, you know, it's one thing to talk about cats that are not here, but Chris has been here. Mm-hmm. Share a little bit of that, because you guys have a history. They were at BC together, and you guys actually were roommates, right?
That's right, man. That's right. Chris was a freshman. I was a senior. We didn't have off-campus housing. You know, we didn't have all that fancy stuff at BC.
Oh, wow.
You know, we got it out
Jesuits,
of the bus.
Jesuits. Discipline.
And so, yeah, my roommate, you know, transferred out, and so I was left without a roommate. It was kind of last minute. Chris was, I forget, I think he was like the oddball out of his rookie class, freshman class, and you know, we linked up. He was like, I need a roommate. And he was a great dude. So yeah, he was awesome. So I saw him in passing. So we went to dinner on whatever it was, like a Thursday night. And I came in on Friday afternoon, and I saw him in passing when I was just getting a view of the land, and kind of caught him off guard. I was just like, yo, tell me about the place. Like, what do you love about it? You know, what's different? Because you obviously been here for a while. What do you like? What don't you like? And I mean, everything was positive, and he's shot it straight, right? Because I know him,
right,
you know,
right.
Keep in touch all the time, but he knows me, and I know him, And it was a great combo. So, like, I think that to me meant a lot more, right? You could prep, have all the good things to say at dinner, but I'm catching him in passing, and he may have known I was coming, but, like, not right then and there. And it was really cool, man, just hearing, like, truthfully how he felt, how he's seen things, the energy, how things have, like, been turning around in a positive direction and all that stuff. So it was great.
Justin Simmons with us, guys. Pro bowler at safety for the Falcons here inside the Ticketmaster Studios. So you come in from Denver. We got to ask you because, man, watching this thing from over here on the East Coast, it seemed like it was a good place to maybe change directions and get out of at the time.
It was –
not to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, no, I get it. And, you know, I think the biggest thing, too, is I was just sharing with the mass of the media, right, just talking about the return to Denver, right, and all that. I think the biggest thing is anytime, you know, with Sean coming in you know, off the, you know, suspension and then, you know, having the TV airtime and all that stuff, getting right back into coaching and then trying to take over. I think anytime you take over your first year, it's going to be different. And it's going to be, in some cases, a little messy just because there's things that you're trying to remove,
right,
and implement the way that you know how to get things done. And you're trying to figure out who's buying in and who's not. And I think, like, you know, that's a lot of that. So there was that point in the season where we had that, like, 5 or 6 game win streak and kind of and put Denver right back in the playoff races. And, you know, the guys were buying in, like, oh, okay, I get it. This is how you got to play. This is what we're doing. And it didn't work out towards the end of the season. But I think that's why you're seeing success from them as a team now. You know, again, a lot of that's transferring over. A lot of people wrote them off going into this season that they were going to be a bottom whatever team in the league. And Bo Nix is playing great. They're running the ball well. The defense is playing lights out. And, you know, they're controlling the field and special teams. You know, they're finding their formula to win games. And so as a team, we know our challenge, and we know it's a tough place to go down and win, and looking forward to the challenge.
Simmons returns to Denver with vengeance on his mind.
Looking for payback. No,
all
man.
Of it.
That's,
no,
that's how we'll edit this out.
No, yeah, okay. Of course. You'll hear this later. You'll be like, dog, I didn't say that.
Unfinished business in Mile High.
Man, I've heard this about you, and not having you here long enough, but I've heard this about you, and I want you to kind of expound on it, which is you show up at other teammates' events. You are considered, from other guys I've talked to, a great teammate because you just connect with guys. And obviously that's important for you. And then your foundation work, man. I mean, talk about giving back, because Mike and I are big on this. Any way that we can do this in the community and help people. And I know you've been doing that a long time. You've been here for a short period of time. But in Denver, you did that a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. I think I'll answer the first part of your question. I think – almost everything that I do now as a vet, I learned from vets. And so I'd be doing a disservice if I didn't give credit to guys in my career throughout the years who I've learned from. And so being a good teammate, man, it's because I had good teammates, veteran guys for me. Like, I'm getting there. They just in Denver just got drafted. They just won Super Bowl 50. You know, T.J. Ward, Darian Stewart, Aqib Talib, Chris Harris, Bradley Roby, all those guys embraced me and brought me in like I was a 5-year player with them. And I don't know any different, right? And so, like, when it became my time to kind of take that role, that's all I know. I want to be a great teammate. I want to be a great brother, you know, for the guys in my room, because eventually that translates to on-field play. And I want you to know that, like, I will be where I say I'm going to be, not just because of the X's and O's, but because I care about you. And I think there's something powerful about that. And I've learned that from those guys. So it's a testament to them. And then, yeah, man, and in the same breath, I think threefold going into the foundation work, like, it was learned in Denver. You know, the different owners now, but at the time, you know, Pat Bowlen, the previous owner of the Denver Broncos, you know, that's what they called, like, a Pat Bowlen Bronco, a guy that exuded excellence both on and off the field. So DT, the late and great DT, Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, you know, like I said, Chris Harris, TJ Ward, like, these guys were all Pro Bowl players. And then, like, you found them doing great community work. And so I'm stepping into this, like, okay, this is what I have to do. Like, it's not a, oh, I'm doing it. Like, this is, I'm seeing the model of what is a great player. So there's that. And also at the same time, like, it's how I was raised with my parents. My dad did it at an early age, man, recognizing that, you know, as I continue to play and, you know, I go from high school to college, college to the pros, there's always going to be a platform, no matter how big or small you think it is, someone's watching. And it's the precedent that you set forward that allows you to be able to empower others to give back, right? And so for me, knowing that that platform is always going to be there, and everyone's platform is different. Some have a, you know, a higher national stage. Some are a little bit more local, whatever that looks like. But your voice matters and your actions matter. And so it's what you do with that. And, man, I always just want to be you know, I always talk about the hands and feet. You know, I just want to be the hands and feet of the Lord and give back in any ways that I can. And I think, you know, one life-changing experience makes everything worth it. And if I can have that one encounter one time for X amount of events, you know, no one's down the road. No one's going to remember how many interceptions, how many points given up or whatever the case may be. But they'll remember the community impact work because that's life changing. It's generational changing. And that ultimately, I feel like, is my calling.
So cool to hear, because, you know, from our business, we talk, sometimes it's always the negative stuff that makes the headlines, and people forget all the things that the guys do off the field that you're involved in. Here, no different with the Falcons. So many great guys like Grady Jarrett.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, bring it back to the Falcons. We were talking with, by the way, 31 interceptions in his career.
No, he's a ball hawk. He's a ball hawk.
Justin Simmons is with us, guys, on Dukes and Bell. The vibe here and moving forward, what do you think? Is it just simply being more detail-oriented? Is it just guys continuing to learn what Jimmy Lake wants you to do? Because it seems like we still haven't played the complete game yet for this Falcons team.
No, 100%. And that, you know, that's exactly what I was, you know, alluding to earlier. I think, again, you know, Jimmy, obviously first time DC here. Right. And, you know, there's some pieces, like a lot of guys are maybe in year two, some guys are in year six. You get a new staff. So you're learning the lingo, the language that all of you need to have and all be on the same page. Right. It's not like, well, I did it this way here and I did it this way there. It's like, okay, so how are we going to do it here? And I think that's just an ever-evolving thing because we all have to be on the same page and we all have to execute at a high level. And so, you know, at the end of the day, the offensive guys, they get paid too. So there are going to be some plays that are unfortunately given up, and there are going to be some, you know, you clap your hands, you tip your hat to the guys that make those plays. But you can live with we always say, like, the bad plays, but you can't give up the ugly plays. Those are the ones that get you beat. There's the good, the bad, and then there's the ugly. And so we still have some ugly to clean up. And, again, I think, you know, now that it's getting, you know, games are trickling down. You only have so many left. November and December, man, these are the games that are the most precious. And so we have to be there's no more, like, leeway on error, so to speak. And so those things are being ironed out and detailed, and it's going to get better and better each week for us.
I gotta tell you, man, this message in this building is resonating.
Yep.
Rogers came in here and was talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Oh, yeah.
And you just literally repeated it. I'm like, man, everybody has got this message that's going on.
Right, right.
Who's the talker in the secondary, man? Who's the talker? Anybody back there? Because I think in my head, I see you and Jesse like just quiet assassins. Is that not true? Do you guys yap a little bit? You talk a little bit?
Oh, quiet is not. I probably would be maybe the quietest. Jesse is not quiet, let me tell you. But that's what I love. You know, you guys have probably seen all over, like, other NBA players talk about, like, Steph and Clay.
Yes, quietly.
Yeah, yeah, they're always like, you know, they're light-skinned. We're going to mess with them. And then all of a sudden, like, that competitiveness turn, that's Jesse to a T.
Is it?
And I would have never known that on the outside looking in. That boy is letting you know every single play. He's here. He's about the smoke. Like, I'm about that action. And he plays like that, you know. Right. And that kind of gets you going. Yeah. I'm like, man, I'm in this too. Let's go.
Yeah.
The Tampa game, I mentioned to Carl, I had good seats. I was behind the bench when AJ makes that crazy diving interception. The energy, the way everybody kind of came in.
Yeah.
And everyone was just going, everyone was like hyped. Is that just the collective vibe and just feeling the success for him?
Yeah, yeah, man. And that's what you want to be about, right? And you want, like, I think you can genuinely see when guys want to play for each other and want good things and good success to come. When you see someone else make a play, watch the reaction on the sideline or on the defense or on the offense and see what the celebrations look like, because that's when I think you have something special and you can build on those things. And so, man, Jesse's implemented a good culture here. AJ, honestly, has done that over his career being here, even as a young guy coming in, being asked to be a leader. They got a really good culture here, and I'm so happy to be a part of it.
We're happy you're here. And there's a lot more football ahead of us. There's a lot of more opportunity and wins in front of us. And I know you're going to be a big part of that, man. Thank you for stopping by.
Man, I can't thank y'all enough for having me.
Finally get to catch up with you, man.
Yeah,
thanks so much.
Pleasure on my end.
Justin Simmons, everybody. And we are headed to Denver on Sunday. It's going to be a fun game, man. Justin, thanks again for stopping by. We got a lot more to get to. We'll talk about some of the things he discussed. Mike, he talked about connecting, like in the room, and then that translates on the field. Relationships, man. Like, you got to care about your teammates. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. We'll talk about that and much more coming up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.